to local radio. 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a civic media station. This is 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The Texas Supreme Court Friday night put on hold a Texas judge's ruling that approved an abortion for a pregnant woman whose fetus has a fatal diagnosis. The High Court says its ruling is not based on the merits of the case. It's to review the lower court decision. This coming as a Kentucky woman is challenging her state's restrictive abortion laws. Civil rights attorney Amber Duke on behalf of her unnamed client.
I am a proud Kentuckian, and I love the life my family and I have here. But I'm angry that now that I am pregnant and do not want to be, the government is interfering in my private matters and blocking me from having an abortion.
Fighting between the IDF and Hamas continued in the northern Gaza Strip overnight, along with airstrikes. A senior Israeli official saying the war will continue at this intensity for another 3 to 4 weeks. Teen school shooter Ethan Crumbly sentenced Friday to life in prison without parole for killing 4 students in a Michigan school. This is ABC News. All 4 members of Maine's congressional delegation calling on the Army Investigator General to immediately launch an investigation into what led up to the mass shooting in rural Maine this fall.
This effort by Maine's U.S. senators and Congress members ramps up the pressure on the Army to find out how the alleged gunman, an Army reservist, was able to mount his attack despite well-documented mental health concerns. Lewiston families and their lawyers have urged scrutinizing the military's handling of Robert Card and exposing any potential system failures that could be fixed in the future. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
A D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals has largely upheld a gag order imposed on former President Trump in his federal election subversion case. With one exception, Trump will continue to be barred from making public statements about possible witnesses, court staff, and prosecutors. But in one change, he will be allowed to attack Special Counsel Jack Smith. The FDA approving 2 new treatments for sickle cell disease, one of them the world's first gene editing therapy targeting that DNA. I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bow. Fewer college students are taking foreign language courses. A new report warns this could affect how well students are prepared for the future. Here's Joe Ullery.
The Modern Language Association survey finds fewer students chose to study languages other than English between 2016 and 2021. Nationally, enrollment dropped 17% during the same period. Professor of Spanish and Portuguese Deborah Cohn says the tanking numbers could spell trouble for students applying for college and have implications for equity.
In Indiana, between 2016 and 2021, they dropped from 42,000 to 30,000. So that is a drop in that 5-year period. That is a drop of 29.4%.
Cohn points out that foreign language studies provide cultural knowledge and open doors for many types of jobs. The report says adequate funding for language problems and support from the schools are needed to help keep them going. According to the report, making foreign language courses more career-focused might attract more students. Cohn underscores that the nation is becoming more diverse, so it's important to understand and be able to connect with others.
We need people who can speak languages, who can offer social services, legal services, medical services within this country.
One thing that might turn the ship, according to Cohn, is getting students involved in studying languages at all levels, especially when they are young. The report also recommends schools building partnerships with multicultural organizations. I'm Joe Ullery. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bowden.
Here's another community reminder from Civic Media.
When your family is looking to add a dog or cat to your family photo, stop by Catkins first. Catkins is a no-kill Northwoods animal shelter. They are a dedicated group of animal lovers working to improve the lives of homeless pets in the Northwoods. Check out their website, catkinsrescue.org, or call 715-762-0122 for more information on adoption, volunteering, or donating. Catkins, caring for animals in need throughout the Northwoods region.
Leaning into local radio, 98Q Country.
Badgers volleyball team moves on to the Elite Eight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers women's volleyball team has had a great season, and now they're in the NCAA National Tournament. They beat Penn State 3-1 in front of over 7,000 at a sold-out packed UW Fieldhouse in Madison. Today, they face off against Oregon. The game's beginning at 7 o'clock. College basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers basketball team will take on the number one ranked team in the country, the Arizona Wildcats. That's this afternoon at 2:15 in Tucson. Wisconsin now ranked 23rd in the nation after beating Marquette and then Michigan State. They've come up a little short, though, in terms of points they could get from the free throw line. Head coach Greg Gard.
Getting there is probably priority number one. You know, we have to get there. You know, I'd like to get there 25-plus times a game. We were there. We did that against Northern Iowa. We got there a lot. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do that.
That's Wisconsin Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. A mixture of precipitation likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Highs around 37, west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight. Lows dip down to around 20. Overcast skies. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 28. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Monday with daytime highs approaching 29. 25 Tuesday. Another look at the short range. High of 37 today. Lows level off around 20 tonight. We should top out at 28 tomorrow. About an inch of snow tonight. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley. And that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 33.
I fish, I hunt, and always will. Broadcasting from the Alclair Outdoor Studios. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're not just a radio show anymore.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
That's right. Welcome to the show. My name is Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in right here on this radio station, maybe downloading the podcast or watching this on YouTube. Thank you very much for coming and checking this show out. We got a really good one for you this week, ladies and gentlemen. The wolf topic is heating up in Minnesota. If you didn't think it was heating up before, it's really starting to ramp up now, especially when deer harvest numbers were down in Minnesota, and they've been trending downward in the Northeast for a number of years now. So we have Brian Lynn from the Sportsman's Alliance Foundation. They are suing the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service about the wolves on the endangered species list as part of the Endangered Species Act. We're going to find out why they have this lawsuit, what it means, and what it could mean, and what the status of it is coming up. We got a really great discussion with Brian coming up this week. We're also going to bring in Joe Henry, who has some words of wisdom for our own Dan Amundson. Dan, what's going on over there?
Have you ever started a show by saying it's not a terrific show or a great show coming up?
They're always amazing shows, of course.
Well, I'm not doubting that. I'm just curious.
Probably not. Well, it's because we always bring good shows. That is our goal here, to always bring you a quality outdoor experience.
It'd be interesting if there was one radio show that said, we don't.
And said, this week's just terrible.
Gonna mail it in. Terrible show today.
Just turn it
off.
Don't
know what we're going to do.
I know a lot of shows that should be saying that.
Well,
wow. Hey,
care to share any names?
I'm just ours.
Let's out the
Sporting Journal Radio.
Let's out the outdoor industry.
We got plenty of controversial topics this week. We don't need to get another one. We are also going to talk about a mountain lion in Minneapolis and its untimely demise met on 394. What happened? We'll explain coming up in just a second. First, Dan, who are this week's sponsors?
Live Target. Match the hatchet. Live Target lures this winter.com. Plenty of ice fishing baits there. Lake of the Woods Tourism. You can use those live targets at Lake of the Woods. It's the walleye capital. Plan a trip for this winter at Lake of the Woods, MN.com. Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fish out of a snow bear on Devil's Lake this winter. Learn more at HaybaleHeights.com. Otter Tail Lakes Country. Find your inner otter at OtterTailLakesCountry.com. And Prairie Sportsman. The new season starts in January, but you can watch episodes anytime at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel.
Pretty excited. Going to film a deer hunt for Prairie Sportsman this weekend, actually, with Danny Thompson from Garmin. A lot of people know him from Garmin, but I'll tell you what, man, that guy's passion for whitetails is unmatched, and the amount of work he puts in for food plots and land management is unbelievable. So we're gonna talk to Danny and see some of his work firsthand. And you know what I'm taking down there, Dan? This is a first for Sporting Journal Radio, by the way. I got the new Toyota Tundra last week. This week, while we're recording this podcast, a woodland. Yeah, you get one and you get one. A brand new Toyota RAV4, the Woodland Edition, is just showed up in the driveway.
Brand new car!
It's here, and they dropped it off, and they want us to use it for a week and drive around in it, check it out, tell you about it. So thank you, Toyota, for providing us with this RAV4. So we're going to take it down and do some deer hunting with it. And do some filming and stuff with it. So I have yet to see it. Dan, you went out and met the guy.
It's in the driveway. That's what I know.
Is it camel? Did you even see it? Did it blend in?
Well, it's dark. Oh. It was dark. For those of you watching this on Friday at 10 a.m., it's currently dark. This is SJR After Dark.
That's right. It's a Woodland Edition. I don't know if that means, I don't think the vehicle's going to be camo. I don't know what color it is. I'm assuming there's maybe some camo trim on the inside probably. I don't know. We'll go take a look at it. We're going to drive it around for the next week, and we'll be telling you more about it next week here on the show, and then follow us on social and our personal socials, Instagram, whatever. I'm sure you'll be seeing more about it. So if you're curious to know what the Woodland Edition of the Toyota RAV4 is all about, we will tell you. And I'm going to try, when I drive, I have to drive through the cities with it, and Dan, I'm going to try not to hit any mountain lines, but it sounds like the problem cat is no longer there anyway.
Well, can they actually confirm that?
I don't know.
How do you know there's not two?
It definitely could be. Definitely could be. So if you don't know the story, I think most people have probably heard this story, but if you haven't, we're going to tell you. There was, we've got the story from the Star Tribune. So thank you, Star Tribune. We're going to show you. So first, this mountain lion was caught in the Lowry Hill area of Minneapolis on some sort of security camera. And if you watch this video, if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see the video. Hopefully we won't get dinged for showing this, but that mountain lion jumped a fence into that driveway and then just kind of sauntered its way through the driveway past the resident's garage there. And then the next day, a guy driving a Hummer on 394 and he's pulling a trailer. Just hit that little roll.
Yeah, you're talking to yourself. I know, this is a screen recording you made. So you got to click it.
I saw the cursor going back and forth. I read this story, and the guy's like, yeah, I hit it. It came out of nowhere. There was a thump, and then my vehicle went into the median. And I'm like, whoa, okay, hit a mountain lion. I didn't think it'd be that drastic. But, man, he totaled a Hummer hitting this mountain lion on 394 and then killed it. And there it is. If you're watching this, I apologize that we're showing you a dead mountain lion, but it's a dead one. It's roadkill. It's so wild to see a mountain lion on 394 in Minneapolis like that. But according to that Star Tribune article right there, that was the one that was spotted. But I don't know. But according to the Minnesota DNR, since 2004, only 77 mountain lions have been verified in the state. Some of those are roadkill. Some of those are trail cameras. And some of those are, I think, just tracks that were identified by the DNR. So what was really interesting, I thought, though, was that 54 of those 77 have come since 2016. So out of 77 in the last 20 years, look at the graph right there if you're watching this, a majority of them have really taken place in the last 7 years. Now, I don't know if that's because there's increased use of trail cameras, or if the population of cats in the Dakotas is going up, because most of these animals, I mean, some people will argue that there's mountain lions in Minnesota, and they definitely pass through here. And yeah, maybe some stick around for a little bit, but there's been no documentation of like a female that's had kittens. Cubs?
I don't know.
Mountain lion cubs?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Has nested?
I don't think they nest.
I'm not sure what to say.
Does a cat nest?
Does
a deer nest?
I don't think there's been like breeding pairs in Minnesota. It's mostly been young males who get kicked out of a territory in the Black Hills or in Western North Dakota. You'll see them in Eastern North Dakota once in a while, just kind of passing through. They don't really hang out. Just look at the info from that radio tracked one back, what was it, 10 years ago or whatever, that was caught on a camera, I think in Stillwater or something. And then it got hit by a car like in Connecticut or New Jersey a couple of days later. Like the thing traveled halfway across the United States in a couple of days. So obviously they passed through Minnesota. And I won't get into the semantics of how long they stay here and things like that. But 54 of those 77 coming since 2016. So are they coming through more? Is the population up more? Or are trail cameras just showing us more of the mountain lions. It's interesting to see that one in Minneapolis is pretty wild. And we really should be calling them cougars because there'd be so many more jokes about cougars.
I'm going to say, you say a lot of them pass through. I know there's a bunch in Fargo that I sit around that you probably met doing radio up there.
Hey-o. Cougar got hit in Minneapolis. Cougars get hit on in Fargo.
I don't know. You lived there, so I'd assume.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, you know what we should talk about is a brand new podcast. We've teased it, talked about it a little bit here on Sporting Journal Radio, but the North American Waterfowl Podcast is finally here. We recorded a series of interviews, recorded a series of podcasts back in 2021. We got a little busy, so we're finally putting them out. And the first episodes are about the best band story we've ever heard. So episode one is out, In Search of the Best Band Story, and it includes a band found while fishing. That's one of the oldest bands I've heard of. And it was in our backyard in Western Minnesota. So that was pretty interesting. And then we also tracked down the origin of another band that was shot by a friend of ours, Tony Crotty. And for the long time, for a number of years, he didn't know what it was until this podcast, until we record this podcast. It's a Jeans Argo sales on the band, and they did a little Google search and saw there was some Argo dealer, but never really knew, never called him, never really knew the history about it. So we track down Gene, we get him on the phone, and it takes a while for us to figure it out, but we get to the bottom of the Jeans Argo sales band on the first episode of the North American Waterfowl Podcast that is now available wherever you get your favorite podcasts, or go to northamericanwaterfowl.com or go to sportingjournalradio.com. We've got it on a whole bunch of places.
Or the Sporting Journal Radio YouTube channel. This channel you're watching this podcast on, you can watch the North American Waterfowl Show.
Yeah, that's
hopefully
right.
That doesn't confuse you. But
it's definitely going to confuse a lot of people.
Well, figure it out. Be smarter. This is a brain exercise for America. If you can't figure out our podcast, you're screwed.
Please figure our podcast out, please. This is our jobs. So if we can do anything to help make it easier for you, just let us know. We will.
Should I give your phone number out on the air? People can call you personally.
You can contact us at Sporting Journal Radio.
Call Brett personally.
Or just comment below right here. But if you're watching this,
if you're commenting below, click the, it'll say Sporting Journal Radio to the left. I don't know, to the left, I suppose. It'll be like right down here. Click that, and then it should show up.
Okay.
If you're watching it on YouTube. If you're commenting on the YouTube link, it'll be there. So
if you're pointing at your radio right now, you can't click on anything.
Just scream at your radio. Yeah. You can't figure it out. So, my camera must have died.
That's not going to help.
That's a great look.
All right. So...
Oh, that's awesome.
That's the thumbnail. That's definitely the thumbnail for the podcast this week right there. What's Dan? Caption what Dan's about to say about his mustache.
Oh, no. Oh, no way. Dang it.
All right. It's back. All right. How's our time?
Let's take a break.
Okay. So coming up, Brian Lynn from the Sportsman's Alliance. They're suing the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service about wolves in Minnesota. All the details on the way. And Joe Henry and we come back on Sporting Journal Radio.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt. Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTEC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and FTEC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
Come ice fish the famous waters of Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world. Experience full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper house options. From the northwest angle to the south shore, Rainy River and Baudette, the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. walleye, sauger, perch, and northern pike. Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, best fishing anywhere. For more information, log on to lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, now it's time to talk to Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. We got a special segment with Joe this week. Joe, you have to teach young Dan about life. What words of wisdom do you have this week?
I tell you what, it's going to take a long time and a lot of teaching because I've got a lot of years on Danny.
What's that supposed to mean?
I'll tell you this much. All kidding aside, anybody that's listening to this, and if you're not watching this, you are really missing out because if you saw that stash of Danny's, that mustache, I mean, for Christmas, I almost got you some mustache wax. I don't know if you curl it on the ends yet or not. And then the other thing I was going to do is I was going to get you, you know, maybe an old cassette. I don't know if you know what a cassette is, but an old cassette of like Queen, just to kind of represent Freddie Mercury, because it kind of looks like Freddie Mercury. Really, it does. I mean, you must have people calling you Freddie from time to time, don't you?
Just you, Joe. Actually, just you.
Brett, come on.
Yeah, I mean, we could start calling him Freddie here on the show.
Is that a compliment?
Oh, he's wildly famous. I mean, people flock to him.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure my mom would love if I curled the mustache up.
I think so. I think you should. Or just full on. It seems like it's longer than it was last week.
Well, you get a little lazier when you trim it.
Well, you know, guys, I told you the story, I don't know if I've told your listeners the story, but way, way back when I went to spring break that time, and of course, they like to hook you as a lifelong revenue stream when you go to spring break as a college student. You're at that age. They want to get you. And I think it was Gillette Company was at spring break down in Daytona Beach, Florida. And what they do is they bring up a nice-looking female, and they blindfold her. And then they grab five of us guys from the audience, and she'd come across and feel our cheeks for the smoothest shave. And if you won, you know, you got a real nice prize package. So she felt my cheeks. She went and felt everybody else. She came back and felt my cheeks, and my gosh, if I didn't win the smoothest shave contest, I won a real nice prize package from Gillette. What I didn't tell her, I didn't shave that day.
Better to be lucky than good.
It's really just envy. It's pure envy. I'm envious of all you guys with all that facial hair.
Yeah, I've never seen you with a beard, Joe.
Nope. You know, I get a little bit of growth, you know, but boy, I'll tell you, it'd take a long time, and it'd be a little bit patchy, I think, and not like Freddie. I'd say Freddie's just got come on.
It's better to be good than or lucky than good.
Well, I'll tell you what, it sure warmed up this week. And I know I had to drive, what day was it? Wednesday, the day we're recording this. I had to drive into the cities and back. And driving out, I left at 6 in the morning. And driving out early, there were some ponds and sloughs and lakes that had ice. And driving back in the afternoon, there was some open water on some of those. So I think we lost some ice this week, Joe.
Yeah, it changed that quick, hey? I know up at Lake of the Woods, I was looking at the weather forecast, and, you know, we're just coming off that St. Paul Ice Fishing Show, and people, of course, people, how's the ice? Is it coming along? Am I going to, my reservation's in early January. Am I going to be okay? Am I going to be okay at Christmas, you know? And, you know, every year Mother Nature is determined, but it was going to get to the 40s, the low 40s, and then at night it was going to get to the low 30s. And, you know, I don't think it's going to do a ton of damage. You know, that it might hit 40 or 41, but that angle of the sun isn't such that it melts a ton of ice typically. And, you know, we're coming along up north, Brett. We're marking some trails back in our bays. The ice guides are out there. I would say that, out on the main lake, we're starting to mark some trails. There's still some open water on the main lake that popped open, which is typical this time of year. There's some holes of open water. But when you look at a satellite view of Lake of the Woods, the whole Big Traverse Bay is ice covered. And then there's some spots of open water along shore and things like that. It's coming along. It's not there yet. Actually, up at the northwest angle, you know, they staked a trail from Young's Bay out to some of the islands. And, you know, it's not ready yet, but it's coming along very nicely up there. The ice is nice and smooth and it's clear. So We're making progress, but it's going to take a little time. I always say we're going to, you know, people ask me, how thick is the ice? And facetiously, I say, it's anywhere from 0 to 8 inches.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Lake of the Woods is so big. How do you answer that?
Right.
It's almost like, let's rely on the ice guys or the outfitters in specific areas of Lake of the Woods and let them make a determination based on the ice that they're working, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's 6 hours north of where I was driving today, which is almost in a, you know, it's like in a different stratosphere sometimes, it seems like. A lot of different weather. And I was kind of surprised, you know, here in, you know, western, southwestern Minnesota, there's really no snow on the ground. I think there was just a little bit of a dusting in the driveway this morning. But when I got to the cities, they had actually gotten a little bit of snow, enough to have to shovel their driveways and their sidewalks off. There was still a little bit of snow piling on the edge of some of the driveways. I was kind of surprised at that. So it seems like every part of Minnesota got a little bit of different weather this week. But, I mean, historically, we're getting into that time when ice fishing is going to be here. And you're right. You rely on those guys up there that are out there. This is their job, to go out and check that ice. If they're out there staking trails, they're out there checking ice conditions all over the place. And that's why it just makes sense to you know, go through some of those guys up there at Lake of the Woods.
100%. You know, people say, yeah, Joe, you just want us to use the outfitters or the resorts. And, you know, it's not that at all. You know, for the measly $15 you pay, you know, they're out there staking trails, checking ice, flooding ice, chopping down stuff, bridging cracks, knocking down ice upheavals, driving the trails daily. They know how far you can go out. Everybody wants to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Well, usually deeper isn't even better ice. So we got to make sure there's good enough ice if we go deeper. And I mean, it just, they're keeping you safe is what they're doing. And they're also a resource for, you know, helping to understand what the bite is all about, what the bite windows have been, what kind of lures, what kind of colors, all of that stuff. So that's why I say, you know, rely on the ice guys. There has been a little bit of fishing going on, quite honestly. I talked to one guide today, and when I called him, he was in a spear house doing some spearing on one of the back bays, for pike. And then I know one of the other resorts, they just had one of their ice guides go and just do a little bit of testing and caught a few walleyes. Not that they're putting out the public yet, but he was just, you know, as he's checking ice, he knew it was safe, and inside of the fish the evening, got some nice walleye. So things are starting to come, and I think we're going to be a little bit behind of where we normally are on average. People say, when do you normally start ice fishing? Usually about December 10th is when we get out our day houses as a rule. We're going to be a little bit behind that this year, I think, in most areas. But, you know, we're not going to necessarily be far behind it. I said that the weather forecast has cold in it, and you know, when you don't have any snow and you don't have thick ice, that ice can build really quick.
Do you think, you know, those guys are really good at catching fish up there. The guides are good at staking trails and seeing how safe the ice is. Do you think they're good at telling people how to grow handlebar mustaches?
You know, a lot of that has to do with luck of the draw based on genealogy. And that's something that Danny has going for me, is genealogy. Now, he doesn't have the wisdom yet, but he has genealogy, and he has one heck of a stash. That mustache, I mean, if there is a mustache contest, Danny, I think I'd probably put my money in, honestly.
All right. Joe, what if people want to get an ice fishing trip booked up to Lake of the Woods, what should they do?
Yeah, an ice fishing trip, or maybe a mustache report?
Yeah, yes.
Check out our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Come ice fish the famous waters of Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world. Experience full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper house options. From the northwest angle to the south shore, Rainy River and Baudette, the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. Walleye, sauger, perch, and northern pike, Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, best fishing anywhere. For more information, log on to lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
Looking for winter adventure? Might as well pick a place with over 1,000 lakes. On Otterdale County, Minnesota is in the middle of everywhere, offers a simpler pace, and has something for everyone. Find your inner otter at OtterdaleLakesCountry.com.
Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. F-Tech's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra-point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and F-Tech's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Park Falls BP, the one stop for everything you need from fuel, wine, spirits, beverages, car washes, ice, snacks, and more. Everyday low prices at a great value. Park Falls BP. Next to McDonald's.
Want to start saving money today? Well, you're in luck. The 98Q Country Shopping Show is always available online at 98QCountry.com. There you can find local businesses such as nice restaurants or fun shops. Located in Phillips, Prentice, Park Falls, Minocqua, Mellon, and many other locations in the surrounding areas. Save money with 98Q Country today.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. If you're a dad who is facing divorce, there are extra layers of stress that may include stereotypes and assumptions. No two situations are the same. Our legal experience and dedication prepare us for whatever legal challenges we face together. You need a partner you can count on. For more than 30 years, Cordell & Cordell has represented men in divorce.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Madison area attorneys. 1110 Fourier Drive, Suite 120, Madison, Wisconsin, 53717.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. A mixture of precipitation likely today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Highs around 37. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight. Lows dip down to around 20. Overcast skies. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 28. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Monday, with daytime highs approaching 29. 25 Tuesday. Another look at the short range. High of 37 today. Lows level off around 20 tonight. We should top out at 28 tomorrow. About an inch of snow tonight. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley. And that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 31.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, this is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in on the network. By demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or maybe you're watching this on YouTube. Thank you very much. Give us a like and a subscribe down below. And if you have a comment about something that we're talking about, make sure you comment below as well, too, because we got a really important topic for those of you listening in the region here. Maybe you're in Minnesota. Maybe you're elsewhere, but Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, for sure, this is probably a good topic for you right now because we're going to talk about wolves and the situation with wolves in the endangered species list here in just a second. We're going to bring on Brian Lynn right now. He's a vice president of marketing and communications with the Sportsman's Alliance Foundation. Brian, how you doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, wow. Look at that. That's a nice background there. I thought I had a good background. You got a good one back there, too. That's a fox over your left shoulder there, it sounds like.
Yep.
All right. Well, I want to ask you about that coming up later in the show. But first, tell us what the Sportsman's Alliance Foundation is.
Sportsman's Alliance Foundation, we're actually there's a 503 and a 504. We're two organizations technically. We just go by the Sportsman's Alliance, but it's to provide a well-rounded defense for hunting, fishing, and trapping, and we work in all 50 state legislatures, state and federal court, and at the ballot box. And basically, we look out for hunters, anglers, and trappers. Bad bills that come through legislatures, lawsuits, you know, that we can step into and make sure that hunters are represented. You know, when the government's handling something, Fish and Wildlife gets sued, for instance. We can step in and make sure that our side is being represented, or we can file lawsuits against states, against the federal government, or whatever. And so it's just a lookout for your everyday hunter, angler, and trapper that's out there.
There may be no more important time than right now, I think, for an organization like that. I mean, you could probably look back in history and say, yeah, we needed to fight this one in court. But I think there's so many threats to our way of life right now. And most of us that like to hunt and fish, we just want to go live in the woods and live off the land, right? You know, go shoot some deer, cook them up over an open fire or whatever. It doesn't matter. None of us really want to deal with the politics and lawsuits and things like that. But it's so necessary, and it's becoming more and more necessary to have an organization like this to fight for us right now. So I think this is great. I'm really excited about having you on. And I've been following Sportsman's Alliance, and we work with the Association of Great Lakes Outdoor Writers. So, we handle some of the communications and social media for Aglow. So just about every day I share something from your Instagram onto our Instagram. And every day there's something about this is a bad bill in this state on the East Coast. This is what's going on that you need to know about out West and in the, everywhere. It seems like there's always something that people need to pay attention to. And it's so easy just to try to tune all that out and just go about your day and just watch your own bobber, as they say. But it's more and more important to be involved and at least be aware of the issues. And especially if something comes up at the ballot box, to know what to vote for, to be able to continue the tradition of the outdoors. So I think this is great. And with what is happening in Minnesota and Wisconsin and Michigan with the Great Lakes Wolves, I'll never forget 2015, I was ice fishing, and I was out there by myself, and it was real slow, and I was kind of kicked back, and my phone vibrated, and I see all this. This is like in the evening, too, and I get this notice that the wolves are being relisted on the endangered species list, and I just sat there, and my jaw kind of dropped, and I couldn't believe that it happened, and I was going on a wolf hunt in Ontario in 2 weeks right after that. And I had a chance to interview Dave Meach, who probably knows more about those wolves than anybody on the planet. And I had the chance to ask him, why? What is the reasoning for this? And I said, what was your reaction when you heard about this? He said, I'm flabbergasted. Like, there's no biological reason that these wolves should be back on the endangered species list. So this has been, and obviously this year with our deer hunting season, our harvest numbers are way down. People up in the northeast part of Minnesota, they're really starting to get vocal about the wolf population and what's going on. And obviously weather plays a role. Black bears play a role. There's other predators out there. But from the Sportsman's Alliance Foundation's viewpoint, when did this situation with the Great Lakes wolves, when did that kind of show up on your radar?
Oh, well, we've been in the legal fight for about 20 years. This has been going on for two decades almost. And we've been a part of that, part of the appeals process, part of the, we've delisted them three different times.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been put back on technicalities, on judges' rulings, with the Humane Society, Center for Biological Diversity, Sierra Club. This is no longer about biology. About the wolf population itself. Now they're filing lawsuits on ambiguous pieces, making legal arguments, and it's about wording within the Endangered Species Act. It's just a legal chess game at this point. And they're starting to run out of moves, but as lawyers, they can come up with an argument for anything.
Right.
And they're the ones getting rich here, and everybody else is suffering. We've been fighting this for about 20 years, and you're talking about when they got relisted. I mean, I remember sitting here waiting just for the ruling to come out, and so we could put up a story, and it was, it was a blow, and it starts getting into, they started pulling in different wolf populations as their argument that if something were to happen hypothetically to the Great Lakes wolves, how does that impact the Rocky Mountain wolves, the wolves on the West Coast, the wolves, other wolf populations, and if they need to, supplement those with genetic diversity? It also argued about historical range and and suitable habitat within that historical range, saying that Fish and Wildlife has to consider these different pieces, you know, which just takes time. Like, the obvious answer is like, yeah, they're not, it's not suitable everywhere. But that takes time to do correctly and to file the reports and get that kind of information out there. So that's where we've been at. And that's part of what we've gone and done lately is we found a way to basically fulfill all the court's needs and file petitions with the government to, hey, let's fix this finally, and fix it not just in the Great Lakes, but the West Coast, the Rocky Mountains, and anywhere else the wolves might show up.
I mean, let's go back a little bit. The Humane Society of the United States has kind of been at the crux of this whole situation, right? They've just been, when you talk about this going on for 20 years, has it always been them, or has it been like that Center for Biological Diversity and the Sierra Club, some of these other organizations too, or is it all of them, or is there one that's kind of spearheading this effort?
They'll all jump in sometimes with different arguments, sometimes with different tactics, but Humane Society of the United States is the 200-pound gorilla in the room. I mean, they're the big dogs in the world. You know, they have like a $200 million a year budget, you know. And so they got money to burn.
You know, and I think it's, maybe you can clarify this a little bit better, but a lot of people think, man, the Humane Society is great. They have shelters for pets down there. I'm adopting pets. It's a different Humane Society than the one of the Humane Society of the United States.
Yes, your local shelter, your local Humane Society, I call it little H, little S, that's dependent on donations, sometimes local taxes. Humane Society of the United States, and they say this on their website because they were getting called out for it, they do not run one single shelter, do not financially support one single shelter. They'll give out some grants here and there to do a spay and neuter thing, but not $200 million worth.
Yeah.
They are a lobbying activist organization with lawyers, lobbyists, movie stars. I mean, they bring in a lot of money and spend a lot of money on making more money, on advertising, on fundraising.
Our guest is Brian Lynn from the Sportsman's Alliance here on Sporting Journal Radio. More with Brian when we come back. Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTAC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra-point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and FTAC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit HaybaleHeights.com to book your trip today.
Come Ice Fish, the famous waters of Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world. Experience full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper house options. From the northwest angle to the south shore, Rainy River and Baudette, the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. Walleye, sauger, perch, and northern pike. Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, best fishing anywhere. For more information, log on to LakeOfTheWoodsMN.com.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Kyle Repair is expanding and is looking for good people to fill technician,
office, and clerical positions. Apply in person today and work for a company that has over 80 years combined experience in servicing heavy-duty equipment and has been family-owned and operated going on 10 years. Stay tuned for some exciting things to come in the next few months. Kyle Repair, Highway 13, Park Falls, Wisconsin, an equal opportunity employer.
Lofi's Holiday Sweepstakes is back. The Bakers of Country Hearts would like to put a little more jingle in your holiday this season by giving you a chance to win one of two $500 prizes or the grand prize of $1,000. Winners will each receive a check that can be used for travel, gifts, or just celebrating with family and friends. Whatever makes your holiday more jolly. For complete rules and to enter for your chance to win, visit facebook.com/Lofi's Bread.
Get it done right the first time with CNR Power Sports. Come see Carl on Ash Street in Park Falls when your boat, ATV, UTV, snowmobile, or even lawnmowers, snowblowers, chainsaws, and all other small engines won't start or run right. From light tune-up to full teardown and engine rebuild, Carl will bring his 30-plus years of experience to every job you bring him. CNR Power Sports is also the area's only factory-authorized warranty service center for Generac and DR brand equipment. Bring all makes and models. Look up CNR Power Sports on Google or give Carl a call at 608-228-7223. Find Carl where Ash Street meets the Tuscobia Trail. CNR Power Sports, your trusty pit stop for top-notch care.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. A mixture of precipitation likely today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Highs around 37. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight. Lows dip down to around 20. Overcast skies. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 28. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Monday with daytime highs approaching 29. 25 Tuesday. Another look at the short range. High of 37 today. Lows level off around 20 tonight. We should top out at 28 tomorrow. About an inch of snow tonight. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley. And that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 31.
Up to a $5,000 sign-on bonus. You heard right, and up to $35 an hour based on experience. The Wheelway Service Department has an opening for a service technician. Make up to $35 an hour based on experience. Training will be provided. Up to a $5,000 sign-on bonus. Now may be the time, the perfect time for a change. Stop in and inquire at Wheelway, Highway 13, in Fifield, Wisconsin.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in on the network, watching this on YouTube, downloading the podcast. Thank you. We appreciate it. We've got a great interview right now that we're going to continue with Brian Lynn, the Vice President of Marketing and Communications for the Sportsman's Alliance Foundation. Wolf populations have exceeded the Fed's goal for wolf populations, right? I mean, like, we got plenty of wolves out there. There's no reason they need to be on that list.
Yeah. No, they, especially in the Great Lakes, you know, they've exceeded the state plans. They've exceeded the federal plans, yet they're keeping it going with red tape and forcing the government to jump through hoops. Okay. You know, but obviously they're not, there isn't suitable habitat throughout the country, but they have to document all this. In that same ruling, however, we won a big point, and we said it back there, and people didn't quite get it, but there's distinct population segments, and that's the Great Lakes, that's the Rocky Mountains. What we're proposing is a West Coast one also, and a remnant one. But the point that was argued in court, Humane Society said, it's a one-way street. You can only list a distinct population. We argued you could also delist. So you could delist the Great Lakes population and still have protected populations elsewhere in the country. And they tried to say no. The judge agreed with us and ruled that, yeah, you can delist. And that's really at the basis now, fast forward to 2023, of what our petition is.
So that first petition was about the wolves, and I noticed that the Michigan Bear Hunters Association, Upper Peninsula Bear Houndsman Association, and Wisconsin Bear Hunters Association signed on and joined on. I didn't see anybody from Minnesota on there. What? Why is that, you think?
I don't know. That's more towards the government affairs team and who they assemble and who they can get on, and just kind of timing wise with other things as well.
All right. And then there was a second petition. So these petitions, the two petitions, were filed on June 29th. They had 90 days to respond, which would have been September 27th. They didn't. That second petition then was basically giving the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service a plan, right, for delisting?
Yep. Yeah, no. We had a basically these two petitions taken together satisfy the court's needs, right? Like it's the blueprint. It's the answer to what we need. First petition says delist the Western Great Lakes Wolves DPS. The second petition is saying to create a West Coast Wolves DPS, because right now the only other DPS is the Rocky Mountains, and that's your Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and the eastern one-third of Oregon and Washington. The other wolves are kind of out there in no man's land. So we're saying create a Western Wolf DPS that's Washington, Oregon, California, that isn't already part of the Rocky Mountain, and then create a remnant population or DPS population that is wolves that may show up elsewhere, up anywhere else, that you know, your Nevadas, Utahs, whatever. And so then now we have our DPS is set up, and we can delist as each one meets the thresholds.
So it allows you to manage the different populations almost the way state game management agencies manage populations of animals within their state. They're just not under federal.
Yeah.
I mean, these would still be under federal jurisdiction, essentially, but separate from the other wolves in the country.
Yeah, so you could delist the Western Great Lakes wolves because there's plenty of them, and they need to be managed, and still protect the West Coast wolves and the remnant population. And as those populations grow, then you can dial them up and, you know, take them off the Endangered Species Act. And or if they fall below a threshold, I mean, there's already an automatic trigger that if wolves fall below a certain level, they go back on the ESA immediately. They don't have to go through the listing process and all that again. They immediately go back on the ESA. So you could relist them while keeping another population unlisted or delisted. So it's really the answer in the blueprint. We handed it to them.
Seems so logical. I mean, and honestly, none of this is there's no logic involved, obviously. I try to stay out of the Facebook arguments. And we've got this actually a really neat, I think, research organization, the Voyagers Wolf Project up in northeastern Minnesota. There's some biologists doing some really interesting research up there. And generally they stay out of, you know, one side or the other, like most biologists. Generally, they just try to present facts and talk about the science. And I had a little discussion, a back and forth with them, because they presented some numbers about recent deer hunting harvest numbers up in the northeastern part of the state. And I think there's a huge number that they touched on it but didn't spend much time on it, and that was the hunter success rates in the last five, six years and how they've decreased so much. But I generally try to stay out of the internet arguments about all of this, but it's definitely ramped up around here recently. So this has been a pretty important topic here in Minnesota, especially for our deer hunters. And there's a lot of deer hunters that get worked up about it, and there's a lot of people on the other side, anti-hunters or whatever you want to call them, that get pretty worked up about it. But generally, I feel like hunters have a little bit more of the science and boots on the ground knowledge and experience. And I made the comment to, you know, there's my post right there. I made the comment right at, I don't know, one of those things where, you know, so much of this, you know, the lawsuits to relist the wolves was based on emotion and not science. It's a societal issue. It's when I talk to the DNR about sandhill cranes, or you talk to them about trumpeter swans, which are way over population recovery goals. You talk to them about, even when we got the dove hunting season here in Minnesota, so much of it was less about the biology and the fact that these populations are large enough to sustain a harvest and needing to be managed. But so many people see a beautiful creature and get so emotional about it that they just forget all about. They're the ones that tell you usually to trust the science, right?
Follow the science.
Follow the science. That's right. And then they just have no idea about the science when it comes to stuff like this, like the wolves. So getting back to these two petitions, they were filed again on June 29th. They had 90 days according to the way. No, they had 90 days. That's an Endangered Species Act requirement that they have to respond within 90 days.
Yeah, that's law. That's law. So that's part of the Endangered Species Act. That's federal law. It's an APA violation that they didn't. So, you know, and we kept asking, you know, we're trying to play nice here. And we kept asking, and it was just a black hole, just a void. No response.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I mean, you kind of hope that it was just bureaucratic, you know, oversight or something. I don't know, because so far, you know, almost every administration has been supportive of, I mean, earlier in the year or last year, the Biden administration was appealing the lower 48 delisting ruling. And, you know, they've been fairly good about wolves. So you don't know if it's a political thing, it's gamesmanship or what, you know. So we kept asking. We gave them well over, you know, the 90 days, you know, hoping this would work out and we'd get an answer and could talk. Didn't get one, so they've kind of tied our hands. And so we have filed the notice of intent to sue.
What is the status of that lawsuit and where do you think that'll go?
So it's right now we've just filed the notice. They have, I don't know if it was 60 or 90 days to respond to that. So we are waiting for that deadline to pass, see if they respond, you know, and satisfy our original request. If so, then we'll have our answer and we can move from there. If not, then we'll have to file suit and follow through with it just to simply get an answer. You know, these are petitions. We're asking them. We're saying, here you go. Here's the answer. And so if we just have to sue just to get them to answer and sit down and have a conversation with us, you know, it's not great. But there it is. So I guess we'll just kind of see when the time comes up.
Well, I can about promise you that politics are playing a role in this. You know, especially with everything that's going on in the world of politics right now, I'm sure that that politics are playing a role in this right now. So I'm glad that that you're doing it. It's like I think when I first saw the post, I think I shared it on my Instagram and I commented, if they're going to use the courts, we're going to use the courts. And I got a pretty big response from that. And sometimes if they want to take the fight to the legal system, then we have to go there and do battle against them. And, you know, and when we've got the facts and the numbers to back up, you know, to back up our side of that argument. So, I mean,
100%,
if they have done such a good job of tying things up in litigation, what's to keep them from continuing to do that?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I mean, that's, you know, and that's going to become, you know, that's kind of what the Sportsman's Alliance has started to turn to. I mean, so many states had super majorities in their legislatures, or like I'm in Washington State. Our Fish and Game Commission, which is appointed by the governor, just basically on what he feels.
Yeah.
He has appointed a bunch of anti-hunters.
All right, we're talking with Brian Lynn from the Sportsman's Alliance. We have more with Brian coming up on the podcast for our radio friends, people listening on the radio network right now. We got to end the show, but if you want to continue this conversation with us, go download the podcast or watch us on the Sporting Journal Radio YouTube channel. Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba LLC. If you missed any part of the show and want to listen to it again, or maybe hear an extended version of some of these interviews, you can download the podcast. Go to sportingjournalradio.com, or you can watch this show on YouTube or Facebook.